Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today on the ZabeCast, you asked for it and you got it. More football, please, and today I deliver a solo cast of nothing but Week 14 and the National Football League. All the games, the plays, the nuggets, and the numbers, from the Eagles to being the first in to Purdy Mania by the Bay, and there's a crazy dark horse that controls their own destiny. Your 30-minute dose of uncensored me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go! Here we go! Monday, December 12, 2022. Thank you for downloading. This is absolutely one of the freshest podcasts you will get. This is being recorded damn near midnight on a Sunday night after I have gone through the Sunday grind. You might have seen this on Twitter. I took a picture of my detailed notes right here on my official, beautiful, four-color process cardstocked of ZabeCast official podcast note cards. And man, there's a lot to talk about today. So I'll start with this. Okay, first of all, I know this is not a real job. This is not real work. Boo-hoo! So you're doing a podcast at midnight. You have to sleep for 6 hours. It's only 6 hours. And then you wake up and in your pajamas, you do your radio show. Come on! Real work is laying 800 linear feet of, you know, travertine tile outdoors on a pool deck in 40-degree temperature or something like that. I get it. But hey, it's work for me. You know, I'd love to sit on my ass and just casually watch football all day on Sunday and not actually work it. But during the whole Charger-Dolphin game, which looked great as I kept looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down, I was working. I was looking up notes and facts and making sure, okay, did I get the right name on this guy? Got a couple highlights here as well. I did all that stuff. And you know why I did all that? Because of your feedback. When I say feedback is always welcome, I lie a bit. I should say, if you would like to give me feedback, here's how. Zabe@yahoo.com. It's often welcomed, but not always welcomed. Like, for example, here was two I did not welcome. This one from Jed Hollings, Nashville, Tennessee. Zabe, I love you, man. But we have, whenever someone starts with that, I can feel it. I feel the disappointment coming right after that. I love you, man, but we have moved into the heart of the NFL season, and I need your analysis of the games. You go to a lot of trouble and effort to pick every game on Friday and then on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday comes on the podcast, you barely mention them, other than, of course, the Packers or the Monday night game. Maybe you toss in a sprinkling of comments on the others, but I look forward to you giving NFL commentary that goes beyond the Packers and beyond Church's team and beyond Andy's stupid Commanders. Please, man, give me more. Okay, fair enough. This one from Jack T. Harris in Missouri, whose email tag is Eric Albrechtson for some reason. Anyway, dear Steed, he writes that. So I know you're an insider. You're a one percenter. You get that reference. Seems like you would prefer to talk about almost any other sport than the NFL. I'm being forced to go to other podcasts to get my NFL talk. What? There are other podcasts out there? Please, please, please get back to sports and stop some of the nonsense like your vintage video game sounds. Sincerely, Jack T. Harris of the great state of Missouri. Well, with that as a prologue, why don't we go ahead and we will dive into week 14 in the National Football League on your late Sunday night, fresh out of the oven results, analysis, nuggets, and more.
Another carry for Sanders, and this one breaks loose. He's headed for the end zone. Touchdown.
Check that. 232 rushing.
That's some quick math. And that's 144 today for Sanders.
All right, Jalen, still stacking up all those wins and stacking up a lot of points. Just offensively, maybe a silly question, but is there another gear you guys can rate?
We just want to continue to chase progress. We want to continue to learn from our mistakes, learn from our successes, and just continue to grow.
And with that, the Philadelphia Eagles move to 12-1. Week 14 in the NFL is almost a wrap. One more game to go on Monday night. And in New York, the Giants just got destroyed 48-22, your final score. The Giants are who we thought they were. I mean, all cylinders firing for the Eagles in this one. I mean, Jalen Hurts, first quarterback in NFL history to have 10 or more rushing touchdowns in three straight seasons, I believe. Miles Sanders, 144 yards rushing. They had 7 sacks. Saquon Barkley was not supposed to play in this game because of his neck injury, but then did anyway. So go figure on that one. The Eagles are 12-1, and they got the number 2 offense, number 3 defense in the league. They got everything. Why are they not being called a super team? Could be on me. Maybe they're a Cat 3, Cat 4 sort of super team. Jalen Hurts is your MVP if the season ended right now, and that will be over some pretty good players like Patrick Mahomes. More on him in just a second. The Eagles are at Chicago next week. The Giants are at Washington on a flexed-in Sunday night special. New York is 7-5-1 after the loss. That takes us down to Dallas, where the Cowboys escaped.
Up the middle, into the end zone for the touchdown. Great. High arcing toss for the end zone. It is intercepted. Cowboys pick it off in the end zone, and Dallas will avoid a Texas-sized upset.
Man. Talk about an escape. Dallas wins 27-23 on a monstrous 98-yard touchdown drive engineered by Dak Prescott. But of course, it took a goal line stand in which they stopped Jeff Driskel on a botched fourth and goal play. He turned one way. The running back turned the other. Texans got a Texan. That's how Houston's been this year. It's the 18th late game comeback for Dak in his career. And afterwards, Jerry Jones was just all, see, hello, Dak Prescott. That's all I'm thinking about right now is that comeback for the win. They had a chance up 23-20, did the Texans as 17-point dogs to stick a dagger in after a late Dak interception. But the goal line stand, Dallas has some grit to them. Oh, they played a terrible game. Dog shit game. It was a Driskel-Mills combo, by the way, at quarterback. Driskel was playing a lot of wildcat shit, a lot of run option stuff, and it really threw the Cowboys off in this one. Dallas 10-3. They're at Jacksonville next week. And Houston at home to Kansas City. That should make them 1-12-1. They'll be the number one team picking in the NFL draft. Hello, Caleb Williams, assuming he comes out. That takes us to, why not, Detroit, everybody. Hello, Detroit.
Justin Jackson inside the 10 to the 5. He dives for a Lions touchdown.
Talk about you guys being ready to go. You guys have been ready to go for 6 weeks, man. That's the way to come out and set the tone for the day.
One more at a time, stick together. Family on three. 1, 2, 3.
Family. There you go, the Hard Knocks kids, huh? How about the Lions? The Lions have now won 5 of their last 6 games. They have had 25 or more points per game in 5 in a row. They haven't done that since 1954, pretty much the last great year for Lions football. And they had a Penei Sewell in motion tackle eligible play that was sweet. Dan Campbell had a fake punt that went for big yardage as well. Wow. And that the odds makers were right. They had Detroit -2.5 at home. I took the Vikings like an idiot. The Vikings are now 10-3 with a -1 point differential on the year. -1. Detroit 34, Minnesota 23. 6-7, Detroit is, and they are surging down the stretch. It still may not be enough to get in the postseason. Minnesota 10-3 could have clinched the division, but did not. Dalvin Cook, 15 carries for just 23 yards. This obscured an otherwise hellacious day by Justin Jefferson, a franchise record, 11 catches for 223. That is a record. Yet a lot of empty calories from Kirk, over 400 yards in a we're scrambling to come from two scores behind kind of game. But man, when I talk to Charge this week, going to get a temperature check on him. He's got to be feeling pretty, pretty nervous. The Minnesota Vikings host the Colts and soon to be coach of the year, Jeff Saturday. Next week, the Detroit Lions are at the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. One more highlight intro. Let's go to San Francisco.
Four-man rush. Purdy loading up, going deep. He's got a man. Ayuk in! Touchdown, 49ers! Are you kidding? That's going to do it, man. The 49ers going to win it 35-7, and Brock Purdy, the first quarterback to beat Tom Brady. And how about this Niners defense?
It's unbelievable.
It is indeed. I overthank this one. I overthunk this one. I'm like, why is San Fran only 3.5? This is a lock. Tampa can't do shit against anybody, much less a really sick defense. Well, I was right the first time. Don't overthink it, dum-dum. San Fran 35, Tampa Bay 7, your final there, covering the 3.5 easily as the Niners go to 9-4. Tampa still is in first at 6-7, but don't look now with Carolina beating Seattle. More on that in just a minute. It was the Brock Purdy Show. 2 touchdowns, 1 running as well. His parents took a picture with him in the stands afterwards. He moves confidently in the pocket. He also speaks confidently in the huddle. He might be that dude. Bad news for the Niners. Debo Samuel, severely sprained ankle. Could be a high ankle sprain. Tried to walk off on his own. Had to get on the cart. They're up 21-0 in the late second quarter. Some were saying, why are you running Debo up the middle? Others would say, hey, it's our offense. He runs. He catches. He does what he does. Christian McCaffrey, 119 yards. 2 touchdowns, including 1 on a sweet catch, bobble, and re-catch in the end zone. I said when they got McCaffrey, I'm like, this is unfair, the weapons they have. Ayuk as well. Brady was yelling at the refs. Brady was yelling at his wide receivers. Brady threw 55 passes. They do not run the ball for shit in Tampa, and yet they're still leading the division. But hold that thought on that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are home against Cincinnati this week. The Niners are at Seattle on Thursday Night Football. Kansas City held off Denver 34-28, your final, in a wild game in Denver. Bad day for good old bathrooms, as they got 2 touchdowns from Russell Wilson before he left the game with a concussion, but it was the Patrick Mahomes show, the full Mahomes show, from these no look, I'm running out of bounds, whoop, no I'm not, I'm just going to flip it to Jerick McKinnon for a 60-yard touchdown. And then Mahomes throwing picks that make you go, what are you doing? It was Mahomes going whoop, 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 in the pocket than throwing for touchdowns. It was a hell of a game. There was more highlights in this game that were absolutely amazing than maybe any other game other than, say, Buffalo and the Jets. They had a couple of sick highlights as well. Kansas City raced out to a 27-0 lead with 4:32 left in the first half. You thought it was going to be an absolute blowout. Next thing you know, they start clawing back into it, Denver. So Kansas City now has beaten Denver 14 straight with the win. They have double-digit wins, Kansas City, for 8 straight seasons. That's pretty darn nice. They're closing in on their 7th AFC West title in that span. That's pretty nice. And the only consolation for the Broncos is that Russell Wilson played half decent and then got concussed, so he may not play next week. Shout out to you, bathrooms. You may actually win this one when it's all said and done. Concussion, more on the nanobubble water with Russell Wilson in a second. Jerry Judy finally had a breakout game, 3 touchdowns after yelling at the ref and bumping into the ref, which normally is a ejection. Automatically, no questions asked. Man, he got away with one there. Also, there was a Willie Gay pick 6 for the Chiefs that was beyond belief. I love Willie Gay after he said, look, man, I've been an athlete ever since high school. That didn't surprise me. Tipped it with his left hand on a screen pass and then stiff-armed Russell Wilson to the ground while running back for a touchdown. Pretty, pretty nice. Marlon Mack had a long touchdown on a short screen pass, and Russell Wilson nearly dislocated his elbow, pumping his fist like he had actually done something. The hit he took was pretty bad. He was laying motionless. He had a bunch of turf in his helmet, Russell Wilson. Will he play next week? Too early to say. Kansas City escapes 34-28. 10-3 for the Chiefs. 3-10 for Denver. Chiefs are at Houston this week. Denver hosts Arizona. Baltimore escapes Pittsburgh 16-14. These games are always 2 or 3 or even 1 point games, aren't they? Baltimore ran the ball like crazy because they had to, because Ty Huntley got jacked up by Minka Fitzpatrick, who plays right on the edge of dirty, if not more than that sometimes. Did you see the Minka Fitzpatrick tackle of J.K. Dobbins on the long run as he was like 6 yards out of bounds? I was like, damn. Anyway, Anthony Brown came in for Huntley, who got jacked up in this game. And Trubisky came in for Kenny Pickett, who also got concussed. More on that in a second. I know I keep saying that, but I got a whole second card full of follow-up notes to these games. That said, there's an interesting stat regarding 3 pick games for Trubisky and for Pickett, because they both had them this year. Trubisky was terrible. Throwing over the middle, dumb picks, deep inside, plus territory in a 7-point, 6-point game. Oofa. Baltimore improves to 9-4. I don't know how. Pittsburgh's 5-8. And Baltimore covers the plus 2.5 because they were the dog in this game. Baltimore is at Cleveland this week. That will be the Art Modell, look at what you did to my team game. And then Pittsburgh is at Carolina this week for themselves. Buffalo over the Jets, 20-12. It was a brutal weather game in upstate New York. The Empire State Showdown. The Jets, who beat Buffalo earlier this year, had many chances, but poor Mike White got demolished repeatedly in this game. Game started with 10 straight punts, oh, by the way, 5 for each team. But Josh Allen did just enough. Only threw for 147 yards, but made plays like scrambling on 3rd and 15 and then for the final 3 yards to get the first down, leaps in the air, and pretty much hurdles 2 guys, gets helicoptered around, falls to the ground. First down, he gets up like he's made out of rubber. It's unbelievable. They said they were going to win this one for Von Miller, the Bills, and they did. After the game, head coach Robert Saleh, or Salah, for the Jets said, we're going to see this team again. I got a feeling. Putting his note out there for that. Buffalo was a 10-point favorite, did not cover. 20-12 your final. Bills are now 10-3. Jets are 7-6 and need to start punching to get into the playoffs. Buffalo hosts Miami. Jets host Detroit. Cincinnati over Cleveland, 23-10. Huzzah, huzzah, Joe Burrow. You have finally beaten the Browns after being 0-4. 23-10, your final. Cincinnati was favored by 4 in this one. They improved to 9-4. Cleveland is 5-8. How did Deshaun Watson play? Better, but not great. He did have an INT, including a interception or incompletion on 4th and 6 late in the game that could have brought him a little bit closer in this one. Burrow was not spectacular himself. However, it was just enough Ja'Marr Chase at just the right time. The Bengals lost Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins in this game with injuries. No word on how bad they are. But Cincinnati, after going 0-2 out of the gates, have won 9 of their last 11. And they get some guys healthy again, for God's sakes. They're going to be a danger in the postseason. Reportedly, they made some changes on offense to let Joe Burrow call more stuff at the line of scrimmage. It seems to be working. The Browns are pulling into another lost season at 5-8. Cincinnati 9-4. Cincinnati hosts Tampa Bay, or they're at Tampa Bay next week, and then Cleveland hosting Baltimore. Jacksonville over Tennessee, 36-22. Career day for Trevor Lawrence, 368 yards, and the Titans just looked out of sorts entirely. Titans have lost 3 in a row, and a huge day for Evan Engram. Tight end Evan Engram for the Jags, 11 catches, 162, and 2 touchdowns. Jaguars had 4 sacks, they forced 4 turnovers, and the Titans were booed in this game at one point late in the third quarter. Of course, they went 3 and out, 3 and out, and then on the first drive of the fourth quarter, they run a stupid-ass wildcat direct snap to Henry, and he fumbles it, and they turn the ball over. It was that kind of day. For the Titans, who fall to 7-6, and they too, while they still lead that awful division, need to get it kicked into gear because they have now lost 3 straight. Tennessee was favored by 3.5. They obviously didn't cover. They were outright losers. Jacksonville hosts Dallas this week. Tennessee is at the Chargers. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The Carolina Panthers beat Seattle 30-24, and they're one of the dark horse teams that, believe it or not, control their destiny. Wow. Panthers have won 3 of 4. This was Steve Wilks as their interim coach. This after they ran off Willie Anderson. Willie Anderson? Their wide receiver. Get all these Anderson mixed up. The dumb Anderson wide receiver. Cut him from the team. That was one of the first thing Wilks did. He's like, I'm not putting up with that. They trade McCaffrey because they're like, well, we need to get what we can. Then they let Baker Mayfield go. Panthers have won 3 of 4. Seattle's defense against the run is completely in shambles. They've allowed three straight games of 200 or more yards rushing. The Panthers ran for 223. They led this game 20-7 at one point, including a 17-0 get-out in front game. Seattle falls to 7-6. Carolina is now 5-8. They host Pittsburgh. Does Carolina? Seattle is at home against San Francisco on Thursday Night Football. And there you go. Week number 14. Whew. All right. Let's go ahead and give you the more on that in a second note card. Kenny Pickett. He got pulled from this game against the Ravens because he got clearly concussed as he got whipped hard to the ground, I believe by Roquan Smith. And he then went into the blue tent of medical miracles. He was consulted by the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant, or the UNC, or UNC. Hey, go talk to UNC. Uncle Jed, see if your head's all right. And they let him back in the game. I mean, this is like, it keeps happening. My wife, bless her, often asks the most innocent yet poignant and on-point questions because she's not a big sports fan. She asked me about this today before this happened. She said, so how does that work then if somebody gets, you know, crushed by somebody and they might have a concussion and, you know, who determines whether they can go back in the game or not? And I gave her the whole spiel. I go, well, honey, they have a unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant and they are not affiliated with the team. She was instantly like, so what do you mean not affiliated with a team? They're getting paid to be there on the sideline. I'm like, maybe not. Maybe it's a charity thing. They're just like, give me a ticket to the game. I'll come evaluate guys. Then I told her about the whole situation with Tua Tagovailoa earlier this year. And I think I said something like, they're not going to let that happen again. They let it happen again. Kenny Pickett was cleared to go back in the game, played one series, clearly wasn't right, and then pulled for the rest of the game for Mitch Trubisky, or as Church calls him, Sad Trombonski. Wah, wah, wah. After the game, Mike Tomlin was asked, what happened there? Tomlin apparently said that Pickett became symptomatic. And that's why he was pulled out of the game again. I mean, you could see his ass get ragdolled into the ground. You could see him get up woozy. You would think the NFL would have their arms around this by now, but they do not. Now, here's the craziest thing of all about the Pickett-Trubisky combo. You ready? I don't know if this is a stat of the day or not, but I think the Steelers have to be the first team ever that in one season had two quarterbacks who were replaced for each other, and the replacement came in to throw three interceptions in relief of a game. In a loss, of course, because how are you going to win throwing three picks? It happened today with Pickett going out with his concussion. Trubisky comes in, throws three picks, stinks up the joint, they lose. Earlier this year, Trubisky was stinking up the joint. They put in Pickett for the first time as a rookie. He throws three interceptions in an October 2nd loss to the Jets. Has that ever happened in the NFL? Behold, maybe it's a stat of the day. More Week 14 Nuggets. It was 50 degrees on the sidelines. Oh, I didn't give you a recap of the Chargers and the Dolphins. The Chargers won. Herbert looked great. Tyreek got loose a couple times for touchdowns. These are all things I looked up as I was writing down all these notes that I saw during the game. I don't have a full recap for you with all the stats and numbers, but Chargers also had a chance, the Dolphins had several chances late. There was a play, okay? I do want to talk about this. There was a penalty on roughing the passer on a basic sack of Justin Herbert. Basic. The Dolphins defender clearly tried to brace himself as he landed on Herbert while he was in the act of, you know, playing football. But he didn't brace himself enough. And Scott Novak, the crew chief, threw a late, late flag. I don't like this guy. I don't like Scott Novak. He reminds me of Bill Levy with just a mean asshole face. Now, Scott Novak may be a prince among men, might be the most charming, lovely fella, looks like a dick, and calls games like a dick. If you're with me, knock on wood about Scott Novak, throws a late flag because they're like, well, we got to protect quarterbacks, right? It would have been a big sack on third and long, would have really helped out the Dolphins. Instead, gives the Chargers a first down. They ended up punting on that drive anyway, but still, it took some time and gave them some yards. It just was one of those plays you go, for fuck's sake, why do I watch all this NFL? Why do I invest so much time, money, effort, passion on this league that is going to be this way? And I guess the answer is because it's still so fucking good. But But it's so frustrating. I know why the NFL is doing it. They're doing it to try to protect quarterbacks. But I counted, at least by my count, there was five QB3s that were playing on Sunday, some of whom had virtually no experience whatsoever. Anthony Brown for the Ravens was one. Flacco came in when Mike White was knocked around badly, promptly fumbled. Dick Flacco. He's a QB3 because remember, pretty boy Zach Wilson is on the bench in street clothes, just looking pretty. Brock Purdy is a QB3, played great. Sam Darnold is essentially QB3 for the Panthers, got a win. And then whatever three-headed abomination the Texans are running out there of Mills, Kyle Allen, Jeff Driscoll, there's five QB3s. So in other words, for all the King's efforts and all the King's rules and all the King's memos to the dicks of the NFL officiating ranks like Scott Novak, man, you better call these things. It's not working. You can't protect these players, these quarterbacks. And some quarterbacks run around like, what? Does this game hurt? Doesn't hurt me. Josh Allen is one. Jalen Hurts runs smart, but he runs a lot of power stuff and gets knocked around pretty good. Mahomes seemed to survive a lot of contact along the way. Some guys seem to be just more dipped in bulletproof armor or whatever you want to call it about injuries than other quarterbacks. And then some guys, you touch them and they break, basically. Go figure. It was 50 on the sideline, apparently, in the game between the Chargers and the Dolphins. L.A. has an open-air, open-side, roofed stadium that is the wonder of the NFL. Probably the best newfangled stadium in the league. I would love to see it soon. Anyway, it was like a cold day in L.A., and Mike Tirico said, you know, it's in the 50s here in L.A. today, and I kid you not, but I noticed there were heaters on the sidelines for, and I don't want to, I don't want to say who it was because I don't remember if it was on the Chargers sideline or if it was on the Dolphins sideline. Either way, you know what I got to say. I got five letters for you.
Dudley boys, there's only one word to describe you, and I'm going to spell it out for you. S-A-W-F-T.
I told you, John, they're an acquired taste.
Yeah. Good stuff there. I love the family aspect of the NFL, and I love two moments on Sunday. One was Jameson Williams out of Alabama playing for the first time all year. Long road back from his knee injury suffered in the championship game last year. Catching a touchdown. Yeah, he was wide open, but still. Caught a touchdown and then ran to the end zone and gave the game ball to his dad. I cannot get enough of this. See, I'll put up with all the other bullshit of the league to watch this stuff. Also, Brock Purdy's family, they showed his dad in the stands at one point, hugging his sister, it looked like. It looked like his daughter or Brock Purdy's sister, not Mama Purdy. But kind of hugging, you know, Brock Purdy's sister and then starting to choke up. God, choke up, man. I love you. And then after the game, Brock Purdy found him and he went and he stood underneath him and they took a nice family photo. Fucking A, man. That's good stuff right there. I especially love it when the long shot guys have this kind of success because you think of a Brock Purdy as... You're kind of a mortal. You're a mortal in a league of gods, of Adonises, of legends, just because he was not picked until the very last pick of the draft. And so when guys like him have success and they share it with their family and everyone's like, can you believe this? My boy is out there balling on a badass team, the San Francisco 49ers, one of the most iconic pedigreed franchise in the NFL. It's really got to be one of those. I am pinching myself so hard. I cannot believe this is happening. It's a feel-good story, and I really should be inclined to fucking hate everything about the Niners, but I can't hate on this story. And I love those moments, whether it's Jameson Williams playing for the first time after a long road back from a bad injury to the Purdy family photo. I dig it. Oh, yeah, one more thing on Mr. Irrelevant. Apparently, ProFootballTalk.com says it's time to get rid of the tag Mr. Irrelevant as the last pick in the NFL draft because, you know, a full like 20% of NFL rosters are full of guys that were not drafted. That when the draft was cut from, what was it, 11 rounds or 14 rounds to 7, you had a lot of players who are really good players who would land on teams, land on rosters, get in the game and start contributing. So Mr. Irrelevant is sort of an insult that shouldn't survive. Fuck. Pro Football Talk, just stop with all this sensitivity bullshit. Do you think Brock Purdy cares about being that tag? No, he shouldn't. It's just a tag. You're the last pick in the draft. You're the caboose at the long train of the draft. Who cares? Wear it. Own it. Be proud of it. Mr. Irrelevant. Brock Purdy's not irrelevant. He's balling out right now. Tampa Bay. Tackle Donovan Smith had a holding call in the game against the Niners that negated a 68-yard touchdown to Mike Evans. Hey, it happens. Problem is, it's happening a lot to him this year. Apparently, Donovan Smith has 10 penalties on the season. Not sure if they're all for holding or for false starts, but I saw this. 10 penalties on the year. He's had 3 penalties now negate touchdowns. Ouch. I think that the great Joe Thomas, left tackle for the Browns, had some stat about penalties or pressures or sacks allowed that is so insane you wouldn't believe it. Also never missed a game at left tackle, which is also bonkers. But I don't know, something about Donovan Smith, he is the touchdown eraser because it happened again to him. Mike White left the game in Buffalo in an ambulance, quote, just in case. Battered and bruised and knocked around. He got hit by Matt Milano up the middle in the gut, and it folded him like it was a banquet chair in a church rec room. Boom! He was down. He kept getting up. I know why the Jets players love this guy, because he's a dog, and he will stand in there and take it. But, yeah, they took him to the hospital. He had multiple injuries. And they said, well, it was just in case. He said, you checked out fine. He flew home with the team. I love that. All right, here's our quarterback. He's kind of been fucked up today. All right, anything specific you want to look at? Yeah, just look at all of it. Yeah, just give him a good once over. Got hit in the stomach. Looks bad. Where does it hurt? Mikey boy. Everywhere. Woo, woo. All right, we'll take care of it. We'll get him back in time for the team flight. We'll let you know if we find anything. Here's a stat that's nuts. The Panthers' run game is now plus 64 yards per game on average since they traded Christian McCaffrey. How is that possible? Chuba Hubbard and Raheem Blackshear, who ran wild against the Seahawks on Sunday, and Steve Wilks deserves a serious look at another head coaching job, because look at what he's done culture-wise in Carolina. One of the first things he did was he cut Robbie Anderson. That's who it is, not Willie Anderson. He cut Robbie Anderson because he was being a mouthy dick on the sideline. And Steve Wilks is like, I don't care if you think I'm the interim guy. I don't have the authority. Fuck you. You're out of the game. You're off the sideline. You're off the team. Goodbye. Then they say, you know what? Baker, sit down. We're going to put in, you know, Sam Darnold. But Darnold's won 3 of 4 games, I believe. Mayfield wants to be waived. They said, fine, we'll let you go. They traded McCaffrey. Steve Wilks doing a hell of a job in the Panthers. Yes, control their own destiny, because if they win out, they will win the division. They got to go 4 games. Bing, 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 bing. Bing, bang, boom, and another boom. Steelers have to win out to avoid their first non-winning season since 2003. Holy shnikes. Nearly 20 years of not having a single losing season. Nearly 20 years of the worst year you've had is, oh, 500. Poor you. As Tony Soprano's mother once would say, poor you, which drove Tony crazy. The Titans fired their GM this week. Then they lost on Sunday. Total BS move. Did you know the Titans have now played 77 players this year due to injury? That's a shitload. That's a lot. They've played 77 players this year due to injury. Last year, the Titans played 91 players due to injury. That was an NFL record for most players ever played. And how is that the GM's fault? The GM should get a raise and an extension because you lost 91 games last year and you were a playoff team? Oh, well, you choked in the playoffs. Well, yeah, football happens. What are you going to do? Instead, they fired him. And like I said, tough day for bathrooms. Two touchdown passes for Russell Wilson. One was a very lucky, long touchdown run and scamper from Marlon Mack. But still, two touchdowns. So he is now just two touchdowns shy of matching bathrooms in his mega mansion in Denver. We'll wait for the update from our TikTok guy in the touchdowns to bathrooms category. But we'll see if he actually plays this coming week because of his concussion. Regarding that concussion, I looked it up because I said, okay, we joke about Russell Wilson and the so-called nano bubbles. Let me make sure I don't misremember that. And the answer is no, I don't misremember it at all. August 28th, 2015, when Russell Wilson was at his peak of Russell Wilsondom. Wilson is an investor in Reliant Recovery Water, a $3 per bottle concoction. It's not a terrible price. With nanobubbles. What the fuck are they? And electrolytes that purportedly help people recover quickly from workouts. And according to Wilson, injury. He mentions a teammate whose knee healed miraculously and then shared his own testimonial. Quote, I banged my head during the Packers game in the playoffs. And the next day I was fine, said Wilson. It was the water. Now you know why none of his teammates like this guy. Complete fucking phony. Agent Mark Rogers offered a hasty interjection. Well, we're not saying we have real medical proof. But Wilson, in this PR appearance, shook his head, energized by the subject, and spoke with an evangelist's zeal. I know it works, his eyes brightened. Soon you're going to be able to order it straight from Amazon. Well, dangerous, get on Amazon, order some of your nanobubble water, and good luck getting your head straight because that looked like a really tough hit. My picks sucked this week. What's new? You should have faded them. I was 1-2. My lock did not come home. I had Minnesota +2.5, outright loser. Baltimore +2.5. That was a skinny winner, but still a winner. And Tampa Bay +3.5 because I overthunk it. Or overthank it. Or over what something did. So there you go. All right, that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. It is 12:26 a.m. I've got to go to bed, sleep fast, wake up early, do my show on 97.3 The Game out of Milwaukee, where I hope you will join me then because we've got plenty more to talk about. Tomorrow will be Andy Polin here on the Zabecast, and we'll get into a lot of other stuff, including the unbelievable, stunning tragedy that is Grant Wall passing away while covering the World Cup just weeks after he had been detained for wearing a rainbow t-shirt by the authorities. The plot thickens. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.